from your home for humming questionable song lyrics over room temperature coffee, live from Studio A. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
You're doing well?
You're doing well.
Thank you. You too, man. Nice.
I can't see you, though.
There's a bit of a glare.
Oh, it's not bad now.
Which, you know, I'll take a glare over the heat advisories and the
smoke.
The haze of, yeah.
It's actually clear. It doesn't look like it's as hazy as it was this morning.
I got outside early. It does feel like just a regular summer day. A beautiful one down here in the Driftless, though.
Yeah.
Like, it is a good day for anything you're up to outside, hopefully. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe, probably. Yeah, after
yard work.
After, yes. Yeah, we're in that season. How are you coming on that, by the way?
Great.
Fantastic.
Anyway, sports.
Perfect. Sure. We'll try. It is, as you can hear, pretty slow sports week in real sports, like events that have happened, pretty minimal, which is okay because it's still sports and I'll still get into it.
Yeah.
We had the All-Star game break.
Did you watch that at all?
In baseball. I watched a bit of the home run derby. Me and the kids were interested, and that never fails to be, that's good theater.
Yeah.
You know, watching guys hit 500-foot home runs. And, I mean, really hammering some shots. Getting to explain to my kids what is a home run derby and, like, oh, no, that's his.
Well, good luck because it changed the rules this year.
It was fine for me explaining it to them because they didn't know what the old rules were.
Right.
They were interested in the fact that, oh, you could just have your high school coach out there throwing warm-up to you. You could have your brother. You could have your buddy out there. That was fun.
Good.
Otherwise, All-Star game itself, I caught a couple of innings. It was 4-0. It was 4-0 in an All-Star game, which was kind of like a regular baseball game.
Okay.
So no, nothing on the All-Star game itself. It did start me getting excited about the second half of the Major League Baseball season.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a long one as we've covered. It's 162 games. It's 200 days long plus a spring training. It's the longest season of all.
Is everybody healthy right now too? Ish.
No. The Brewers are going to struggle all year in keeping these last 80, 90, if they're into the playoff run deep, 100 games that they've got left, keeping guys like Christian Yelich healthy. He's here, and then he's gone, and then he sits, and then he's back. And it when he's playing, he seems to be a pretty good, above-average, still major league player. He was a former MVP. You know, back injuries and age catches up with a guy,
yep.
And he's a guy you want in the locker room. He's a guy you want in the lineup. He's never been suspended for steroids. No, he's a clean. He's a superstar the Brewers have that is a clean play.
Good.
And
no, that's good.
But they're going to struggle to keep him healthy for the year, as he is always hurt. He's part of the Brandon Woodruff, who was kind of looked at to be the veteran leader in the pitching staff. He's on the 60-day disabled list.
Ouch.
Again. He will more than likely not see the field for the Brewers again. He had himself quite a nice career. The last 2-3 years have been nothing but injuries. But, yeah, he's not going to be looked at to really put any innings forward. You're looking at fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth starters in depth, having to step up and be real starters for the Brewers for the entirety of the year. They've got the team around those players to be able to do it.
Yeah.
To be able to, yeah, their offense continues to hum along. Their offense is this, you know, runs scored second best in the league behind the Dodgers. Home runs, they're still second to last. But, I mean, their run differential, like the amount of runs they've scored all year versus the amount of runs that they've given up, is the best, I believe, in baseball.
Mm, nice.
Their ER, team ERA, team pitcher, their pitching staff as a whole is the best in baseball.
Yeah, they got Mizorowski, so it helps.
It helps to start the top of the rotation with a guy in Jacob Mizorowski who has an ERA, an earned run average, under 2 still. Which is
throwing 100 plus
and throwing 105 miles an hour, and now being able to get through entire seventh, eighth innings,
yeah,
like a workhorse pitcher that you do need,
yeah,
if you're going to win more than one playoff series this year, if you're going to unseat the Dodgers as the best team in the National League.
Sure.
The only way you're going to do it is with a pitcher like that who shows up twice in a seven-game series, maybe three times, and wins and stops a team. There's been teams that have won World Series with that.
Sure.
With that setup. You know, your offense does just enough. Your defense continues to... Because that's the thing. Good defense, no matter... will always play. Good defense always shows up. It's not like hitting where sometimes it's, you know, sometimes you're on, sometimes you're off. Sometimes great pitchers give up runs, but great defense just sort of stays. That's always a constant, and it remains a constant.
And you're still optimistic.
I'll be disappointed this year. This is the first time in quite a long time with the Brewers. The Brewers have made the postseason 8 out of the last 9 years. They're the only team in baseball to have that. So making the playoffs is sort of a given.
Are you still optimistic they're going to go far?
Yes. Yeah. They're going to have a bye in the first round as the number two seed, more than likely in the playoffs. You have a bye. The playoffs expanded a couple years ago where there's wild card teams, a couple of them. So the Brewers will be able to go into that postseason series against, to whom it may concern, maybe the Cubs, the Braves. They'll be the favorite. They'll be a team that is rested. So if there's, you know, issues in the rotation, finishing out the regular season, you've got a week to figure it out. If there's injuries, fatigue in the hitting department, you're going to even that out. I'm absolutely going to stay optimistic about the Brewers for the remainder of the year. They did make a trade.
Yeah.
Not the exciting trade that we had talked about.
It's a trade.
The Brewers have been linked the entirety of the year, really, and into the offseason last year in upgrading their front-of-the-line pitching staff, perhaps trading for a legitimate major league everyday third baseman. There's only so many of them out there. The Brewers do not currently have one. They've moved Joey Ortiz over to the third base spot instead of shortstop. So now instead of being the worst hitting shortstop in the league, he's far and away the worst hitting third baseman in the league. Plays incredible defense, plays A-plus defense no matter where he is, but seems to be a C-minus hitter no matter where he is in the lineup too. So they haven't upgraded that as of yet.
So they traded, Cecil Fielder.
Nope. Try that again. It is not Cecil Fielder.
Prince Fielder, sorry.
No, keep going.
Jaden.
Mm-hmm.
There's all three. Jaden Fielder.
Yes.
The trade to the Astros for right-hander Lance McCullers Jr. and lefty Colton Gordon.
Correct.
Lance Culver's is listed as oft injured.
That is also correct. Lance Culver's Jr. won a Cy Young a few years ago, was most certainly an all-star. When I say a few years ago, I'm talking like 2018. A number of years ago. He got a big old contract as a result of that early start to his career. He's now on the last year of a large deal. So essentially, the Brewers accepted that they were going to pay him. They're paying the remainder of his contract. It's like $3 or $4 million.
Is he one of those guys that if he's healthy, he's good?
Yes.
Like
Woodruff.
Yeah.
Much like Woodruff, he hasn't pitched over the last 2 years.
Oh.
The last healthy season he had would have been in like 2022.
That's a few years.
That is a few years at this point. He's spent the entirety of the year this year, I believe, either injured on the list or in AAA rehabbing injuries. If he's at his, call it, the best he could be, he will be the Brewers' number four starter, number five starter. If he gets healthy and on the team by then, it's a depth piece completely. It's what you need to do if you're a team. And the other lefty that they picked up from the Astros in that trade, 27-year-old, controllable arm, a guy that if he's good, he's with the team for a couple of years. If he's not, he's in AAA, and you just accepted. It was interesting to me. Of all the prospects they could trade away, it was Prince Fielder's son, who they drafted last year.
Yep.
I would have liked to have, you know, it's cool. It's a third-generation baseball player, and it's two guys that I really liked as baseball players. I would have liked to have seen his kid in a Brewers uniform. But if if you're the Brewers, it's a trade you need to make because you have no real certainty on that team.
Sure.
On who your number three through number five starters are.
Sure.
You don't need a number five, great number five starter, number four, to win a championship. However, injuries are so common in baseball, and especially on this roster, on this team, in this point in the season, with the youth that they have in the pitching staff, you need as much depth as you can. You're counting on guys like Robert Gasser, who's been between AAA and the majors for what feels like a couple of years. You need him to pitch every fifth day at this point and do well to keep the Brewers ahead of the teams in their division. You need Logan Henderson, who at, I think he's 23, 24 years old, pretty young, hasn't pitched healthy in 3 years. He's been with the team for 2 years.
Sure.
Pitches really hard, has a real strong pitching motion, throws 100, gets real fired up on the mound. But he also seems to tweak his back and his arm from all that wild flailing around on the mound. So, if you can pick up a fifth starter and he needs to pitch at some point in the postseason or a stretch in these last 80 games where you need a Lance McCullers to make five starts in August. Yep, you got to make that trade. It's not exciting. It's not Tarik Skubal. It's not Joe Ryan from the Twins. It's not, Eugenio Suarez, a guy playing for the Diamondbacks maybe, that you can trade for that upgrades your third base spot. It doesn't feel like the Brewers are going to pull off that giant trade to get a Tarik Skubal. They've got the depth in the minors to do it. Their urgency should be right now, because if they don't trade for him, the odds that he goes to the Dodgers are very, very high. And if he goes to the Dodgers, that's the season. That's it.
Yeah.
Their pitching staff becomes so good that it does not matter how well the Brewers put together runs and innings. You're not beating Tarik Skubal and Shohei Ohtani and the players that you watched for the Dodgers, that pitching staff last year, Blake Snell. They're all too good. And so you're hoping that they make that trade, but I don't think they will. Hope I jinx that, and then they just turn out to do that by the end of the day. But
sure. Okay, baseball, soccer, World Cup.
Okay,
you want to do that or
yeah? I mean, I yes.
Ain't well, much
there for me. The as much as I do love soccer, and I do, I could talk soccer. I could watch it on TV. I could watch it in person. Being involved in that sport has just been, it's been my favorite sport for a long time. This year, watching the U.S. to qualify for the World Cup, the tournament is 2 months long in the middle of summer, but to get there takes the entirety of the 4 years previous to that. There's qualifying rounds, and there's qualifying rounds, and after over and over and over, there's an Olympics in there, there's tournaments. So having watched them over the last 4 years sort of build to this is our moment, it didn't surprise me, honestly, that the U.S. fell on their face on a world stage at the World Cup, considering the amount of pressure that was on them, the eyes, and then just looking at the talent that was clear in teams like, I watched the semifinal, right? And it became real clear that Argentina, Spain, England were most definitely way, way better at soccer than the U.S. could be
ever.
I mean, it feels like that. Yeah, it's strange to say that about anything U.S.-y, but also U.S. in sports, is saying, like, we'll accept a 16th place finish, which is where they finished this year. Some, you could say somewhere between 16th and 12th, right? Like, that was the losing in the opening round of the 16 teams that are remaining. It makes me, I'll watch, I'll get excited. These players who are in their early to mid-20s this time around, players that I've been following, Christian Pulisic, Weston McKennie, Sergiño Dest, you name these guys, they're young, in their 20s, should be 4 years from now in their prime. And as we've talked about with, and I'm gonna relate this to small town sports.
Sure.
Every few years in a small town, all of your best players in football or baseball are seniors this year. And your team becomes automatically a little bit better, and the rest of the conference maybe graduated a lot of seniors. So your small town football team this year is going to go 8-2. They're going to make the, it's going to be the best. That's what I'm hoping happens for the U.S. team, is they will be the most experienced. The only difference is the rest of the world continues to churn out high, high level soccer players. Every one of these, Argentina has, their best player is Leo Messi.
Sure.
He is.
Is he done after this year? Probably.
At 41 years old, it feels it. That at
is
40,
ages?
He's at any sport, no matter what it is, from professional swimming to golf to baseball to football. When you hit 35 plus to 40, yes, I would assume very strongly that Leo Messi does
39
does not play in a World Cup final at 43 years old. I mean, he's the best of all time, so you can't count him out, right? Like LeBron, I mean,
especially
James,
if they win it all.
Correct. If he wins it all and he is walking off the field with the trophy, winning the World Cup, I could see him walking it off into the sunset, calling it a day, and being done. Because it's not like there's a redemption story. 4 years from now, he's not going to train for 4 years at the shot to get back to the final.
Sure.
The rest of his team is talented anywhere between the ages of 19 to 20 all the way up to 30. That's how these international teams continue to be great. Argentina, Leo Messi is great. Their goalkeeper, Emiliano Martinez, is the best goalkeeper in the world. And as we watched in the U.S. game, the U.S., the last game they played, their goalie cost them at least two goals and an opportunity to get in the game with poor play. The goalie for Argentina is incredible and has been on the club level and international level for a decade. They've got young talent. Julian Alvarez is a young forward that plays at the best leagues in Europe and is one of the best.
Sure.
It's fun to watch as sport this level of soccer. It's a different pace than what you see the U.S. play. It's so much, if you watch Major League Soccer, it's low, much lower level soccer. It does not feel exciting. These players, Spain has their best player. His name is Yamal. He is 18 years old. He is incredibly skilled, like I have never, like he was born with a soccer ball, and he's incredible to watch. He's okay. And there is an interesting photo that you may or may not have seen, right? Check this one out. Leo Messi, when he was doing promotional work for UNICEF,
yeah,
about 18 years ago, happened to be in Spain doing work with refugee camps, sure, and things like that. Took a picture with a young baby.
That's him.
And that was Yamal. That was the kid. The odds of that is just incredible. This wasn't a gifted 5-year-old soccer player that they're like, hey, you're the best 5-year-old. Come take a picture with Leo Messi. That was a brand new baby. Couldn't have guessed it. 18 years later, they're facing against each other in a World Cup final. That's how old Leo Messi is. It's just a very strange thing. But it's that was a cool coincidence, you know?
It's like Larry Fitzgerald being a ball boy in the Minnesota Vikings.
Correct. Yeah, very similar. Yeah. Yeah, the World Cup will be, it's on Sunday.
Okay, that's it. That's the big game.
It's at the MetLife Stadium where the Giants and Jets both play.
Sure. Yes.
I'll be watching. It's the crowd, the excitement in the crowd as you're watching this game. You've been to the Metrodome, right? When it's just rocking. You've Lambeau Field when it's full of people. Camp Randall, jump
US
around.
Bank Stadium.
US Bank Stadium, yep. Loud, right? It does not compare to the amount of energy in this that you will see. These fans, they pack it in early. They're in there by noonish. They are singing and dancing and waving flags and having a great, passionately chanting. And it's great. It's great theater. I strongly recommend that if you're going to happen to be watching some sport Sunday at 2, I'm going to be checking that out.
They have an 82,000 capacity seating
there. And it'll be absolutely full. That is a big stadium. And it will also, for what it's worth, be the most watched event in cable history. More people will be watching this game, tuned in some way or another.
There's nothing else on Sunday.
There's nothing else on Sunday, and international soccer is bigger internationally than football is here in the U.S. It's incredible how much interest there is in this international game. And because soccer really does draw players from all over the world that come from different parts of the world and play in different parts of the world, you can be somebody in the U.S. and be the biggest Leo Messi fan because you've watched him for the last 3 or 4 years play his soccer in the States. You can be a huge fan of Spain because you've seen these players playing in the Premier League for years and years. Yeah, it's fun theater. It's fun to watch.
Okay.
Yeah, good. So that'll be great.
Okay.
Anything else? What do you got?
NFL-wise, there's a few training camps that started today.
Did they now?
Yeah, which everybody usually starts around next week. It was the Seahawks, the rookies anyway. Today's the rookies.
Okay.
And for the 49ers. They started today for the rookies.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, most 21st, a lot of it's next week.
Yeah.
The rookies, there's some teams that rookies and veterans, like the Rams, are doing the same day for rookies and veterans. So
sure.
Everybody has, they have a little leniency, they have a little latitude of what they can do. So some just do it and do what they can. Your Green Bay Packers start the 27th for rookies.
Next week.
Yeah.
All right.
My Minnesota Vikings start. Where is it? Oh, 26.
I mean, I've got some interest in the league as a whole. There isn't, I guess, some big, great stories that I'm interested in on an NFL level, right?
This is at that time of the year. It's just like it's between, OTAs and training, and there's just nothing.
There really isn't because the teams, there's no trading. There's no moves.
Nope, not usually.
It's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. You're hearing the rumbles of a quarterback battle, right?
The one that has been, because they have nothing else, is Aaron Donald went and worked out.
Oh, Aaron Donald might be because they got Miles Garrett.
So he worked out last week, full pads, to see if he really wants to do it.
Gosh.
You know, and then from what everybody was saying, that Aaron Donald's going to be all or nothing. He's either going to be back to where he was before he retired,
or he's not going to do it.
Right. But can you imagine?
And Aaron Donald, when Aaron Donald, the defensive tackle for the Rams, as defensive tackles go, he was always considered undersized, but he was incredibly fast.
Not even one of the best.
He was the best defensive tackle of this generation. He's ranked as good as any of all time, right?
Like, he's the best right next to Miles Garrett.
Right.
Putting the Rams, those two on the field. Which the Rams traded for in the offseason. So can you imagine being an offense and facing Miles Garrett and Aaron Donald and Trent McDuffie?
It's a thing that changes your team because, yes, you're right. Teams,
because you got to double team them.
And you can't run certain plays against those guys because they are that good. That'll be a fun
if it happens
story. That'll be the second favorite team to root for then because I always, I root for my Packers.
Yep.
And then the Cardinals. And then I'm sort of, and that's a hard one to root for, guy. I mean, as much as I've been watching the Arizona Cardinals are an actual team in the NFL. When you have to get just excited about Carson Beck and Jacoby Brissett.
But has he signed yet?
No, he's still.
Why? Dude.
You know, it's the, I don't. It's
you're
the,
a third-rate quarterback on a fourth-rate team.
Yeah.
Sign the contract.
My guess is he wants to get as much guaranteed money as he can before he's knocked out of the game early because he takes, he takes so many hits, so he'd like as much guaranteed cash as he can.
Other things, Alvin Kamara reworks his contract, so he stays with the
Saints.
That's
a shame because I was really hoping that the Green Bay Packers would trade for him because he seemed like exactly what that running back room needs as a backup, like a number two running back. I was hoping for some Alvin Kamara, but I guess, find somebody else.
It's very rare that somebody wants to stay with their team from start to finish. And this is really what it's looking like. George Pickens, he's playing on that franchise tag for Dallas.
$23
million. $27.3
million. It's a lot of money.
A lot of expectations for that team now.
I like that. That's going to be a fun story to watch because as a not Cowboys fan my entire life, they've been great and I've booed them and then they've fallen on their face and I've enjoyed it. This feels like the perfect opportunity to fall on their face and watch Jerry Jones squawk a lot. this year.
Yeah.
With, you know, Dak Prescott either being one of the best in the league or being hurt. Jerry Jones as an owner, a Schottenheimer running the team. CeeDee Lamb is one of the best players in the league. But they don't have Micah Parsons. The Cowboys are always a fun soap opera, even if you're not rooting for them.
Other than that, that's pretty much it for the news for the NFL for now until training camp starts and people get hurt and people get signed. And
I'm interested in the once you start seeing these guys live and you start getting these kind of filtered in, I heard that so-and-so quarterback room is a little bit tighter than it looks like. Those are fun stories to hear. Like, oh,
why would
I hear
you
behind
say that? Why would you say quarterback room?
I might be talking about the Packers number three quarterback. You don't know. There might be
backup. You don't have a backup, do you?
Tyrod Taylor.
Don't have a back. Well, I guess
Tyrod's you have Tyrod Taylor, and I think it was Kyle McCord, who's a guy drafted by the Eagles a few years ago.
Sure.
You've got a development room. The quarterback room for the Green Bay Packers has been pretty okay. Better than how's the Vikings quarterback room been? You'd take pretty okay, wouldn't you? Yeah, you would.
To be determined.
I read a stat that actually should make you optimistic as a Vikings fan.
Oh,
you know this one probably because Kyler Murray, when healthy, has never finished below the 12th ranked quarterback in fantasy football, which means numbers he's putting up. He's a top half NFL starting quarterback when healthy.
It'll be an interesting experiment to see if it works.
Yeah.
This is right now this year. We got 4 minutes left. This is the moment that he either resurrects his career or he doesn't.
Or he's forever.
It's not in between. I mean, he might be a backup someplace if he doesn't.
The risk of running into Tyrod Taylor. He could become Tyrod Taylor if he does not have a real year this year. I feel that's and not.
But
to say,
I think he will. I mean, it's
as I said.
I don't want it to happen. I really want JJ to work out.
But as a Vikings fan, do you really care as long as somebody's winning a game? You'd rather win games with Kyler Murray than lose games developmentally with J.J. McCarthy, wouldn't you?
Well, it's going to be Kyler, and J.J.'s going to be his backup.
Right.
But I want to see – I mean, you need to know, because Kyler, if he does really well, he's got 1 year to do it, and he's free to do whatever he wants.
So one of these guys on the roster –
draft.
One of these guys is Brock Purdy, and one of them is Trey Lance. That's kind of with that team. One of these guys might be out of the league in a year, and one of these guys has an opportunity to make his career actually mean something.
So if Kyler, the problem I have, when we only have so much time.
Oh, go ahead, guy.
But with Kyler, the problem I have is I think it's his results are him, like as in, yes, I'm going to do it. This year's it. I'm going to, Then he signs his contract, and then...
That was exactly what they had issue with with the Cardinals, was he came into the league with this incredible skill set.
Right.
Kyler Murray was drafted in Major League Baseball as a shortstop. He was a top 10 pick, even though they knew he was going to go play pro ball or college football. He was still drafted to play in the NFL or in baseball. He's an incredible athlete.
Right.
What he did in college was unbelievable. Like what he brought to the game in college won him a Heisman, right? Incredibly great.
Drafted number one.
Hasn't translated at all.
I mean, but then the argument is there was it with Arizona.
Arizona.
And how many coaches did he go through?
Three. 3 and 4 years, 4 offensive coordinators. Went through a general manager. I believe there was an ownership change at some point in there between when he was drafted and at this point in his career. No, the Arizona Cardinals are basically
dysfunctional
like the Raiders, like the Browns, like the Jets. There is a group of teams in the NFL that the rest of the league is really thankful for because when you get to see the Raiders on your schedule twice a year or the Cardinals twice a year or the Browns a couple of times a year, the Lions for a long time until they really from the ground up rebuilt what they were doing. There were certain teams in the Jets.
As a Minnesota Viking fan, when we had the, came up to the Detroit Lions, we were like, meh.
Yeah.
Except for once in a while when Barry just ran over.
But even then, those teams would lose a lot of games. 0-16, they were 1-50. The Bears, they were at least sometimes had these flashes in the pans, but No, you kind of assumed though, but the franchise seemed to be ran. No, there's some teams in the league that
So that's the big debate is, was it environment for Kyler or was it Kyler? You know, and we're going to find out.
I mean, one could argue that you could tell me that the Vikings have great infrastructure in place, right? You could tell me that. You could also tell me that over the last year they've fired their general manager and bombed on one of the easiest first-round picks they could have made. So they're not dysfunctional
15 seconds.
Quite yet. That was it?
Yeah.
Dude, what a really great show.
We filled it in, considering we had no sports.
Nice job out of you. Nice job. Hey, everybody. Have a great weekend. Find something fun to do outside. Thanks again. Stay cool. Bye-bye.